Good day, guys. This is Tony Mitra. And today in our podcast, we have a talk with Dr. Shiv Chopra. He was in Ontario and we called him up. The subject of the talk was wide-ranging, but for this podcast, we stick to GMO. Dr. Chopra was a famous health scientist with Health Canada. And he was let go when he became a whistleblower and tried to alert the nation that bad science and bad vaccines and growth hormones and genetically modified ingredients were brought in of questionable value. So he fell foul of bigwigs and they let him go. And he's still fighting them in court. He has written a book, Corrupt to the Core, Memoir of a Health Canada Whistleblower, written by Shiv Chopra and prefaced by Maud Barlow, Paul Dewar, MP, Vandana Shiva and David Yazbek. So, over to the edited version of the talk, covering GMO only. From our side, it was myself and also Teresa Lynn from Port Coquitlam.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Chopra. This is Tony Mitra from British Columbia. I just spoke to you a little while ago.
Yes.
Dr. Chopra, I had sent you a note saying that I just wanted to ask you a few questions. I'll read them out to you in case you have not received it.
I have received it. I just opened it. They're in front of me now. So, yeah, we can go ahead.
Okay. Sir, I have another GMO activist here with me. Her name is Teresa Lynn. She's from Port Coquitlam in British Columbia, also an admirer and on the same cause.
Hello, Dr. Chopra.
Hello.
All right. So,
it's been a while since I was there in British Columbia touring on this very issue. Okay, let's go ahead.
Yes, sir. So, briefly, can you describe your work in Health Canada? Describe yourself.
Well, I worked at Health Canada for 35 years and from 1969 to 2004 when I was fired. So, that's my time at Health Canada.
Yes, sir. And can you explain your expertise? I mean,
I am originally a veterinarian from India and a vaccine expert until I came to Canada in 1960 to do my master's and PhD at McGill University, which I did. Then I spent another year as a postdoctoral fellow at the Royal Victoria Hospital studying allergies. Then for 4 years, I was hired as a senior manager from a pharmaceutical company, American company, headquartered in England for 4 years, and then came back to Canada by invitation and spent the rest of my career at Health Canada. So initially at Health Canada, for the first half of that career, I was the vaccine and antibiotics expert, vaccines for approval of human vaccines and antibiotics for about 18 years. And then the rest of the time, because I was a veterinarian, I changed my job to go to the Bureau of Veterinary Drugs. Everything under the Food and Drugs Act requires that any product that is sold in Canada, a company wants to sell in Canada, if that product directly or indirectly gets into the human body, then the law requires that the company must do research and provide data, research data, to satisfactory to the Minister of Health. That is the law. So my job throughout this period, whether it was for the human or veterinary drugs, was the same as a senior drug evaluator, as a senior scientific advisor at Health Canada. That's what my job was.
And that was Dr. Shiv Chopra. And here I had to edit some part out, and which will go to another podcast regarding vaccination and other issues. And now I come back to the talk about food and then its relation with GMO and so on. Over to Dr. Chopra.
This is not a matter for the government and scientists. This is a matter of public. Public should question this. So I said, there are five items in our food supply. These are hormones, antibiotics, slaughterhouse waste, genetically modified organisms, and pesticides that go with them. You remove these five materials, none of which is officially shown to be safe. If you remove these five items, they automatically, all food becomes organic. It's safe. It doesn't need to be certified organic. And so I call that the five pillars of food safety in my book. So those were the issues on food safety. And then now we are coming to even a bigger issue. You see, when issues of GMOs and food come, then most ordinary people don't react to that. People do not really know what a GMO is, how the meat is produced, how crops are produced, what pesticides are produced, what harm they do, and so on. It's always seen as an agricultural issue. If farmers in India, 250,000 and more farmers have committed suicide and continuing to commit suicide, it's always relegated to as the poor farmer's fate. Or it may be drought or some other nonsense, but never admitting that it's because of the GMOs and the pesticides and the input costs that do not produce the profit. So the farmer ultimately drinks the same pesticide and kills himself. So that issue is handled that way in India. But when it comes to here, the farmers may not be committing suicide, but it's virtual suicide. Our farming business in Canada, small farmers gone, finished. Average farmer is over 60 years of age, and there's only about 1.5% Canadian people in farming now anyway. So, and then these companies come around saying, we want to feed the hungry world. What hungry world? Our food is coming from the hungry world. It's being imported into Canada and the United States. Where is it coming from? It's coming from China, India, Brazil, Mexico, and all the poor countries in the world who, in fact, have so much food in the world that we don't need to grow extra food. It's true that poor farmers in India starve, poor people in India starve, but that's not because of lack of food. That's because of corruption, and these corrupt people won't let the poor people have food. That's what it is. Otherwise, there's so much food and so much healthy food in the world, there's no problem. People in Canada should be growing their own food. Our education system should be designed to grow food in school playgrounds, and all the subjects should be taught around growing food. There'll be no dearth of food and healthy food, and all healthcare costs will come down. These are issues that I describe in my book, and I speak about wherever I go. That we have to reverse this phenomenon of cheap food production and only machines producing them and then feeding the world. This is complete nonsense. Food has to be taken out of the economic equation, and it can be. So, you know, these are some of my issues. So, because I talk like this openly, I used to talk like this inside the department, and so the department got tired of me every now and then I spoke in the media, so therefore they made a decision to fire Shiv Chopra and whoever goes with him. So that's where we stand today as far as my personal career is concerned, but that's, it's carrying on.
And what's your view on GMO, sir?
GMOs, you see, genetically modified organisms, basically, if you take, the companies would like to say that they are the same as natural organisms, substantially equivalent, which in principle is true, that corn is corn, canola is canola, looks like the same, tastes like the same. There may be subtle differences which are hard to distinguish. But that's not why GMOs are made. GMOs are made by taking a gene from one species and injecting into another species and make that species do something different, behave like the, at least for that portion, behave like the species from which the gene was taken into the gene where it was put. For example, take Roundup as a pesticide. It's made from a bacterial gene. Now, that becomes Roundup. It's a pesticide. Similarly, BT is a toxin from a bacteria called Bacillus thuringiensis. A lot of people would like to say, even well-educated scientists, if you ask them, what does BT stand for? They say biotechnology. That's not true. It's the name of a bacteria, Bacillus thuringiensis. Now, if you take this gene of bacteria, Bacillus thuringiensis, and you now implant that or transplant that into cotton or eggplant or okra or whatever, or corn, which is what they've done, then the recipient plant begins to think and behave as though it's that bacteria, and that bacteria is under attack and it must produce the poison to protect itself, just like a snake would to protect itself and throw out venom. So now, if that gene of a bacteria is put into a cotton plant, compare the size of bacteria to cotton plant, which is the size of a tree, and plant it for miles and miles and miles of it. Now the cotton plant thinks it's under attack, it must produce that BT toxin, and it goes on all the time, day and night. And so the whole earth, whole soil is contaminated on a continuous basis. And the company would like to say, oh, it does no harm. It's not cotton is not food. while forgetting that cotton seed is food, and cotton plants, the leaves are browsed upon and eaten by goats and sheep, etc., and people working in the fields rub against them, and they get allergies, and the animals have died. There are experiments shown in India to be doing exactly that. When 2 or 3 years ago, Monsanto tried to push it into BT eggplant, people in India reacted very, very strongly. That why are you touching the eggplant? There are 6,000 varieties of this eggplant in India. Why are you targeting this? There was no explanation, given at least. But Monsanto always has a design well thought out from their point of view for commercial purposes. When they chose milk, cow's milk, for RBGH, the idea was that if it gets approved for milk, then anything will go. Unfortunately, they ran into a hurdle with me. I started to ask questions. What will this hormone do to the cow? They said, why are you asking about the cow? Your concern should be humans. I said, well, if the cow becomes sick by giving this hormone, then people are going to drink its milk because there'll be too much milk, there'll be infection in the cow, there'll be pus in the milk, and then there'll be antibiotic treatment. All those things will happen. So I want such and such tests done. Anyway, without going into deep into the story, people can read in my book, it's all described how all that happened. The same way, when it came to BT eggplant in India, I was invited from here to go and appear before the hearings in India as well. And I said, this is not an agricultural issue. It is an agriculture, but not entirely. This is a human health issue. The BT toxin now is in the entire water supply. the foods to be eaten by people, and so therefore it cannot be approved without showing that it will be safe. So fortunately in India, again, they put a moratorium on it, and that still sustains for all genetically modified foods. So this is the kind of corruption that's happening all around it. GMOs by themselves are weaker organisms as compared to natural organisms. They cannot sustain. But they're given extra power by attaching them to certain pesticides and herbicides. But then the toxicity goes with them. But if you take any of these toxins, you take Roundup. I have some Roundup on my property. I had a sumac growing far away, and I thought I would grow it like a tree. I brought it closer to the house, planted it. Within 2 years, it became a huge tree-like thing because it's a weed. And then I didn't know how to get rid of it because its roots were all over the property. I brought Roundup. I put a plastic clear bag over on this and sprayed from inside and left it there. It took me several years to kill it. But a few drops of it, wherever it fell, nothing else would grow for almost a year. But from that same spot, super weeds came out, which I've never ever seen before. The size of, they were, roots were the size of carrots, but only foot and a half long. This is the kind of thing that's happening with super weeds. Now, Roundup is no good anymore. So the companies are saying, bring back 2,4-D. Or Monsanto says, now it's not just one or two pesticides, we can stack them up. And they call them smart stacks.
Yes.
You know, in other words, anything which is stupid, they call it smart. Smart park, smart bombs, smart regulations, smart everything is the opposite of smart. Mm-hmm. But it's always... the GMOs are unnatural beings.
This brings to conclusion, more or less, Dr. Chopra's talks for this podcast. Actually, we have some more recording of his talks that has to go in another podcast under another heading. And so we asked Teresa, who had been a silent listener all this time, if she had a question.
I guess there's so much information here. I've been scribbling as fast as I can. Thank you so much, Dr. Chopra. I'm going to definitely get your book. I guess one question, just because you've been talking about this for a long time to a lot of people, when we're talking to the public, we don't have a lot of time to explain a lot of things. Do you have, like, from your experience, is there any short message that plants a seed, if you will, in the public's mind to look into these issues and support? Anything you can offer as a suggestion of what people seem to hear the most easily?
In one sentence, I would say, you know, there's Occupy movement. People don't know what else to do, and they're reacting in different ways in different places. I would just simply like all these people, be the government or these companies, to deoccupy my body. Let me be. Don't give me vaccines. Don't force these foods on me. Don't push all this on me. As a child of God, as a citizen of the country, it is my divine right, it's my constitutional right to feed, to eat and feed to my family that nature, or God, if you like, makes. Leave us alone. There's plenty of food. Just to create prosperity, do it from something else, but not from food. But not, and also not by injecting stuff into my body and to my children. Just leave us alone on that. Then go make your money on whatever else. Mm-hmm. That's as simple as that. If not, then it's my right to rebel, go to jail if necessary. Whatever needs to be done, public have to do that. They have to stand up and fight this corruption. You can't just simply say, well, now what can I do? What can I eat? It's very simple. We are responsible for our children. We are responsible for our actions. We are responsible for making laws. It's a democratic country. Then that's what we should be doing.
Don't occupy my food and don't occupy my body. Leave my food and my body alone. That was a parting advice from Dr. Chopra. And with that, this podcast comes to an end. If you all have any suggestion, we'll be glad to hear it. You can send an email to tony.mitra@gmail.com. That's tony.mitra@gmail.com. You can also find me in Facebook as Tony Mitra. And you can also find me in Twitter as @TonyMitra, one word, TonyMitra. And with that, I say arrivederci and see you next time.